Hello. Thanks for downloading this edition of the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Uma Derry Swarmy. Today, I'm taking you back 25 years ago when 10 days defined Manchester United as one of the greatest teams in the world. In 1999, the football club had the chance to achieve the treble, something that had never been done before, winning the English Premier League, the FA Cup, and finally, the European Cup. United had done the double before, but the last time they'd won the European Cup was back in 1968.
Manchester United had well and truly done it. They were supreme soccer champions of Europe. At last, Matt Busby, the maestro of Manchester United, had groomed a team great enough to beat Europe's best. He was king of soccer. His wonderful 11 men were all princes.
31 years later, the new king was Alex Ferguson, and desperate for European success, he set about assembling a new team of princes, including this man.
Jesper Blomqvist, left midfield, Manchester United. If you should pick, I think, one season to play at Manchester United, it is that season.
In the late 90s, Manchester was the place to be, centre of the UK music scene, and United were the dominant force of English football. The 98-99 season was going well. United were battling it out with North London club Arsenal in the league.
It was definitely a really tough season, and it was a great Arsenal team as well. And, you know, there were some really close games, of course, and then there were some other teams. But it was mostly a two-horse race, almost from the beginning, but after a couple of months into the season.
And they were progressing through the rounds of the FA Cup.
It is a different pressure. You don't even talk about, oh, we need to win the next game. That's just in the blood of everybody, in the walls of the cliff, the training ground. And, you know, people expect you to win every game. And that is very special. When you're in Sweden, you may sometimes talk down yourself and say, and pretend, even though you believe you're going to be the winner, you can even say anyway, oh, I think it's going to be a tough game. They are better than us. But at United, you just had to accept and be able to cope with the pressure of always being the favourite, and that was special.
And then on the 16th of May, United beat Spurs 2-1, which meant
Manchester United have won the FA Carling Premiership for the fifth time in 7 years. Their victory against Spurs at Old Trafford was enough to take the title from their only remaining rivals, Arsenal.
One down, two to go. Hype about the club pulling off the treble was growing. And then, just 6 days later,
Manchester United have won the FA Cup. They beat Newcastle United 2-0 at Wembley to complete the league and cup double. Their victory also means they remain on course for a unique treble. All they have to do now is win next week's European Cup final.
Three doubles. I mean, that used to be hard, we thought, to do, you know, the league and cup double. And here they are on the threshold of a treble. I go for a 1-0 Man United. It'd be a great treble if they do it. And I think they deserve it.
The treble was tantalisingly close, with fans doing anything to get to the final in Barcelona against Bayern Munich.
Well, Remark is the house. Remark is the house, but who cares?
Just to be there in the crowd as well, be a part of it, it's great.
Can't wait, honestly. Can't wait to get over there. It's just to sort the atmosphere up with all the United fans.
The team, however, was still trying to stay calm and not think about the enormity of the last game.
I don't think we spoke so much, you know, amongst each other about that. But of course, when you win the second, get the FA Cup final, you know you only have one game left. And then you're at least allowed to think the thought and about it could happen. When you talk about the Champions League final, you want to always try and treat it like a normal game. But it is very hard when you fly Concorde to Barcelona, when you stay at the hotel two nights, not one night, and you know, all this media around, you can see around you, it's not just a normal game, but you want to treat it like that. So it's also there. Yeah, it's a normal game. No, it's not. And your thoughts are, you know, going back and forth between those two thoughts.
But for Jesper, the nerves were getting to him.
This was obviously the biggest game of my career. And I could feel that building up to the game. And the night before, I was struggling to sleep. I remember I lie down and I was reading this note about the positive affirmations. Yes, Jesper, you know, you're fast, you can run with the ball, you're going to score a goal. Trying to convince myself that I was going to have a good game. But all of a sudden, then I was back on the negative thoughts again. All these thoughts back and forth. And it was a struggle and it was a long night.
With not as much sleep as he would have wanted, it was time for kickoff.
The whole team had a poor start and quite a poor game. It was, of course, a lot due to we were missing both Keno and Scholes in the middle of the park, our two, you know, central midfielders that had been more or less the engine of the whole team. And I think the Bayern players, they were more, they had a lot of more experienced players anyway than we had. And they were coping better with this being the Champions League final and all the pressure that it meant.
And it didn't take long for Bayern to score. Just 6 minutes. Being a goal down, United couldn't find any fluency at all. And Alex Ferguson chose his words carefully at half-time.
He was quite calm inside. And then he said, when we were walking past the cup, he said, take a look at, good look at this. This might be the last time you see it if you don't start to play better.
And in the second half, those positive affirmations from the night before almost worked.
I got a crossing from, I think it was Bex or Giggsy, and I had to throw myself forward and just put it over the bar. But it was a good chance and the best chance so far for us.
But it just wasn't coming together for Jesper.
I felt I wasn't doing as well as I knew I could play. Physically, you could almost feel it that the legs were a little bit more heavy and you weren't as clear and focused in your head. It was, for me, a little bit more tension than normal in my mind, and then it went down to my legs as well. Sometimes it's hard to understand and hard to accept the substitution, but this time I felt, you know, a little bit more that this, I haven't been on the top of my game.
In the 67th minute, Jesper made way for Teddy Sheringham, with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer coming on in the 81st. There were 3 minutes added on, and if things stayed the way they were, United's treble dream was over. Injury time came round. Beckham took a corner. Giggs on his right foot didn't hit it cleanly, but it fell to Jesper's replacement Sheringham, who swiped at it and put it in the bottom corner of the net. United had equalised and somehow momentum has shifted.
We would never give up. As long as there were time left on the clock, we would have a chance.
At 1-1, it looked like United had forced extra time. But then, with 43 seconds left of injury time, United and Solskjaer showed the world what they were made of.
Pure euphoria and everybody running around, hugging each other and screaming. And, you know, I see the pictures now afterwards and it's just pure joy. And what strikes me even more is the faces of the Bayern players, that they cannot believe what happened. You know, it's even more when you see their faces, you understand that it's something really, really big that's happened and something unbelievable.
25 years on, how does Jesper remember that night in Barcelona?
When I look back now, I feel more and more proud for every day. It's nice to be able to look back and see that and say that you were a part of that team and that treble season. We had a great result. If I wouldn't have been subbed and Teddy come on, we might not have won the game.
That was Jesper Blomqvist's last competitive game for Manchester United. But he almost completed the treble of reality TV competitions, winning Sweden's Strictly Come Dancing and MasterChef, but coming second in Dancing on Ice. He now runs an Italian restaurant in Sweden. He was speaking to me, Uma Derisormi, for the Sporting Witness podcast.